There's a sense in which God has been preparing me personally for the last 9 months for tonight and for what is going to follow in these coming days and weeks. So I want to spend just a little bit of time tonight sharing with you the context in which our meeting with God is going to take place, what God's plan and purpose is for this. Why God has been preparing me in this way will become obvious in the coming weeks. I'm not going to focus on that tonight. But I want you to imagine a vast orchard, because during these months God has given me this vision, keeps referring to this vision to explain what it is that he wants to do, not only in our lives here at Kingdom Faith, but in his church everywhere. So imagine this vast orchard. You're standing in the middle of this orchard. And as far as the eye can see, and actually beyond where you can see, there are a multitude of trees, fruit trees. Perhaps you could say olive trees, but it doesn't particularly matter what kind of tree it is. And in every direction, these trees spread out. And each tree represents a church, a congregation, a gathering of a fellowship of God's people. So the whole orchard is the church, made up of these individual trees that are churches that are part of the church. And so every one of these trees is made up of a number of branches, and those branches are the individual believers, the members of that particular manifestation or congregation of God's people. And as you look at these trees, it's not like a natural picture, because you can see that it is a different season for different trees. A few of these trees are really heavy laden with fruit. You can see an abundance of fruit on them. When you look at other trees, you can see that they're in a kind of a springtime, that there's blossom on the trees. And that blossom, of course, is potential fruit, but you don't actually see very much fruit. Some of these trees are a bit of a mixture. There are fruitful branches and branches that still in blossom. You look at some of the other trees, and there's lots of leaves, so that they look healthy, but actually little fruit, and in some cases no fruit. So there's lots of showy leaves, but not the fruit that really glorifies God. Those leaves stand for the soulish works. Now, of course, a fruitful branch will have leaves as well as fruit, Because some of the things that we do in our lives are the works of the soul, but the soul informed by the Spirit. The fruit is the direct consequence of the activity of the Spirit in and through us. But as you look at this orchard, you see that there are other trees that the leaves don't look healthy, they look dry, they look dead. Some of the branches of some of these trees are even leafless. They're there within that local expression of the body of Christ, but to all intents and purposes, they appear at this time spiritually dead. Now, this is a picture of the church as God perceives his church at this time. Now, obviously, his plan and purpose is for this orchard to become the bride that is prepared and ready for his coming as the bridegroom. So what he wants for the whole of his orchard is a process of reformation, whereby there's transformation in every one of these trees, the whole orchard. The more that these trees bear fruit, the more they are a light. The glory of God, the light of Jesus, flows, pours out, streams out of those trees. Where there are just leaves and no fruit, there is no light really, or insufficient light to make an impact on the darkness of the world in which this orchard is set. If you like, in between all these trees, there is the darkness of the world. And God's purpose is for every tree to radiate the light and the glory of Jesus Christ, to impact that darkness. Now, I could speak for a long time because, let me tell you, I've spent countless hours just sitting at the feet of the Lord listening to what he's saying about this orchard. And during the coming weeks, more will come out about this and about God's purpose for this orchard. But this is the context in which what is going to happen here during these coming weeks. This is the context in which we're meeting, in which God is going to meet with us. Because his purpose is that what he does here has an influence on the orchard, not just on our particular tree. Amen. And that from here and from other places where he will be moving in a strategic way, because this orchard is vast. But there are going to be certain centers where God is going to move to bring about a reformation in this whole orchard so that it will have a greater impact on the darkness of the world. Because in this coming time, the darkness is going to increase. So it's essential that the light increases. And the problem, as far as this orchard is concerned, is that many of those trees have been impacted by the darkness rather than by the light, which is why so little light shines out of them, why there are so many trees that appear to be dead in the sense of not being able to impact the darkness with the light. And of course, the tree is made up, every tree is made up of its branches, and so what matters is that every branch in every tree is full of light, full of life, and is bearing fruit. Now, where is Kingdom Faith Church in this vision at this time? What the Lord showed me is that we are a tree where there is some fruit, but there's a lot of blossom. The blossom, of course, is the potential fruit. Without the blossom, there won't be the fruit. We know, because of the way that God has been moving amongst us for many months now, that you would think we would see many more lives impacting or being impacted by God, many more people coming to the Lord than we're actually seeing. And that's because it's blossom time more than the harvest time. And God's purpose for us as a church is for the blossom to then become the fruit, to see the fruit forming and then the fruit developing and growing, so that we become a heavily laden tree that will be one of those great shining lights that will impact the darkness. So we have to begin where we are now. And we can praise God for what He's been doing to bring us to the point of being in a kind of springtime where there is all this blossom. But we have to face an important question right at the beginning of our time this year. Why is it blossom and not harvest? Why don't we see more of the fruit that potentially we should be seeing now? So God wants to speak to us tonight about our hearts. Because whatever God does in all of these trees and in every branch of every tree is the result of not only the nature of people's hearts, but the disposition of their hearts, which means where people have set their hearts. Because God has given us a new heart, He's given us right kind of heart after His heart, but it's where we choose to set our hearts that actually affects the fruitfulness and the amount that the light of God can really shine out of our lives, both personally and corporately. So let's think just for a moment of His heart, of the heart of Jesus. What kind of heart did He have? When He was here on earth, what kind of heart did He manifest? Did He demonstrate to His disciples and to the world? Because He surely wants to recreate in us that same heart. So we really do have a heart after His heart. Now, the first thing, of course, that we realize is that Jesus had a heart of almost unbelievable love. Of love that is so immense it can't be described. It was the love that took a sinless, innocent man to die the guilty death of a criminal on the cross. because of his love for the sinners for whom he died. That is the same love that is poured into the heart of every believer by the Holy Spirit. That is the love he has poured into our hearts when we receive the Holy Spirit. The fruitfulness of every tree and of every branch of every tree is to a great extent dependent upon how much those branches and therefore those trees radiate that same love. God wants to recreate that love in the whole of his orchard. It is to be an orchard of love, because love attracts. Love is light and draws people out of darkness to the love of God. And I would say that if I was to ask you, as Pastor Clive did right at the beginning of the meeting tonight, is there anybody here that loves Jesus? We would all say yes. And we would mean that, and our love for him is real. It's just a response to this amazing love that he has for us. But we could probably also recognize, without too much thinking, that there are some things in our hearts and therefore in our lives that are inconsistent with that love. Things that actually detract from the effectiveness of that love in our lives. When we look at the heart of Jesus, we see this incredible mercy, that he is the Holy One to whom the Father had entrusted all judgment, the only one who ever has the right to judge, because he obeyed the Father completely, fully. No sinner can judge another sinner. Jesus is quite clear about that. But he was not a sinner. And yet he said, I haven't come to judge, I've come to save. So we see this amazing mercy. And we realize that what God wants to reproduce in our hearts is that same love and that same mercy. Just consider for a moment how merciful he has been to you, how many times he has had to forgive you, how many occasions there's been when he's had to restore you to his purposes, how many times he's expressed his patience with you because of his mercy, and his long suffering, how he's put up with you and put up with things that have gone on in your heart and life that are not his will. And he's known that, and to a certain extent you've known that and have lived with that instead of facing up to those issues and letting God deal with them. And yet there's that incredible mercy. You have only to look at Jesus to see this tremendous compassion that he had. That he looked upon the multitude of people, and his attitude was not to judge them because they were sinners, because they were unbelievers, because their lives were steeped in so much sin. But when he looked upon them, he saw sheep without a shepherd. His attitude was not what a godless, terrible people these are. His attitude was, these poor people, They have no one to shepherd them, no one to guide them, no one to lead them, no one to tell them the truth. It's the heart of compassion. The question is whether every tree looks at people like that, and whether the branches of the trees have that same compassion, that same merciful attitude, that same love. But this is God's purpose for every branch of every tree. It's his purpose for this branch, for this tree, for Kingdom Faith. And God, I won't go through them all now because it's not time, but one of the things that God was telling me a couple of weeks ago was, I mean, you hear me often say how appalling it is. I think God probably hates more than anything else to see Christians judging one another and judging people in the world, because he's been so merciful, so gracious, so compassionate towards us. He just hates it. And he just showed me how, from his word, when you or I or anyone judges someone else for a sin in their life, they have committed 7 sins against God in judging that person. So the person you judge sins once, you have sinned 7 times as much as the person you judge. You have disobeyed 7 commands of God in judging that person. So this is why, you know, Jesus says, don't judge, don't condemn, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. So it comes back, you see, to the nature of our hearts. Yes, the love of God is there in our hearts, but what about the desires of your heart that are inconsistent with his love? You might fight those desires, you might have to experience conflict because of those desires, but doesn't God want to bring us to the place where those desires no longer exist? That our hearts are so given over to him, so yielded to him, that we lose those desires to please self rather than to please him. And this is what he showed me about the orchard, that the problem in so many of the trees in the orchard is that what happens in those churches, in those trees, is that the leadership of pleasing the people rather than pleasing God. And that many people expect that. They expect their leadership to please them instead of understanding they're part of something that exists to please the Lord, to glorify him, to fulfill his will and purpose. So if your expectations are that the leadership of this church is here to please you, then you've got false expectations. We're only here to please the Lord. Amen. And to lead you in ways that you also, therefore, will please the Lord and not just have your desires gratified. But you see, this is the problem in the church in so many places, in so many branches of so many trees, that the expectations of the people are they want to be pleased. They want themselves to be pleased instead of God to be pleased. And you see, that's pleasing the flesh rather than pleasing the spirit, isn't it? Hello? And that shows a wrong disposition of the heart. The heart is set upon pleasing self instead of pleasing God. And we know that that's wrong because Jesus said, the only way to follow him is to deny yourself, not please yourself. And you see, this is the devil's deception, to think that you'll be happy and fulfilled if you please yourself. Whereas in fact, the only real fulfillment comes in your life when you please God. Then you have the joy of the Spirit, the welling up within you, because you know that you're glorifying him and pleasing him and honoring him. And that's far, far better than pleasing yourself. So it's the devil's snare, really, to live to please yourself, or to think that, you know, church exists to please you. But if there's any element of that, any strain of that, any suspicion of that in our hearts, it's clear that what God wants to do is to cleanse and purify our hearts from what to him is impure. You see, that's an impure heart. To God, an impure heart is a heart that is set upon pleasing self rather than pleasing him. To God, that's sin. I can't dress it up. So, you know, churches shouldn't exist to encourage sin by pleasing people. Anybody breathing still? But we're all here to please the Lord, aren't we? Because we are part of his plan for the orchard. And his plan for kingdom faith is just part of his plan for the orchard. And what he wants, of course, is for us to so fulfill his plan for us that then we can have an impact on many other trees in the orchard. But even more significant than that is that we'll be able to have some impact on the darkness, which is the call of the church. I mean, the call of the whole church, of every tree. The reason for the church's existence is to impact the darkness with the light of God's kingdom, with the truth of the gospel. So, God therefore wants to get every impurity out of our hearts, every bit of darkness, if you like, or element that is counterproductive to this love, to this mercy, to this compassion, to this immense grace that God has shown us and extends towards us. And he wants us to be living in that grace, realizing that the only way for me to respond to the wholehearted way in which God has expressed his love for me is to love him with all my heart. And isn't that the first commandment? You know, in the summary of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, which includes all your desires, and all your strength. So, we're going on a journey with the Lord this week and during these coming weeks, not just during the 40 days. I mean, this is just launching us into something new with God. But it will go on and on after that, obviously. But where do we start? Because this has to be a walk with Jesus. It has to be a walk of unity with him. And it's only as our hearts are lined up with his heart that we can really express that true unity that we have with him. Now, we could pray, Lord, change my heart. But I remember something that Finney, the great revivalist, wrote about the heart. He said, God will never change your heart. It's your responsibility to change your heart. And that's what repentance is. It's a change of heart, it's a change of mind. That God won't do that work for you. He would do that work in response to your real desire and decision for a change of heart. So the point at which we start tonight, and what we're going to do in a few moments, or process we're going to begin, is to ask God to show us our hearts as He sees them. Because we know the heart is deceitful above all things, and we're very good at avoiding issues that we don't want to face. But let's say that we've come to the point then of saying, well, Lord, I don't want to avoid any issues that I need to face. I don't want there to be anything in my heart or in my life that is going to detract from your purpose for me, for being a fruitful branch, healthy leaves, abundant fruit, and of being part of a tree that is healthy and fruitful. I don't just want to be a branch with buds that show how potentially you can do so much more through me. I want to see the fruit of it, Lord. And I want you, therefore, to deal with absolutely anything in my heart that is hindering that process of growth from bud to fruit. Now, I can't be much more specific than that because the issues will be different in different people. But you probably know, even by now, having just listened for the last few minutes, many of you will know anyway, of an issue, or perhaps even more than one issue, but perhaps a particular issue that God is even bearing witness by His Spirit to you at this moment. It may not be some secret hidden sin, although if there is in any of us, pray God that He deals with that tonight, so that we're not needing to hide anything. In His loving mercy and grace and compassion, He won't judge you. He will deal with that as soon as you want it dealt with, as soon as you have a change of heart, as soon as you have a change of mind and say, Lord, I want that out of my life because it's not glorifying You. But what about the attitudes? You see, when we look at the heart of Jesus, we see His heart attitude, that He lived only to please the Father. He did only what He saw the Father doing. He wanted to glorify the Father in everything. So there were no attitudes, no negative attitudes that were inconsistent with that. Can every one of us stand before God tonight and say, Lord, I don't have any issues like that. I don't have any wrong attitudes. I think probably if we stood up and said that, we'd be guilty of self-righteousness rather than true righteousness. We'd probably be guilty of self-deception in thinking that we were in a place where we're not. Let me tell you, God has, during all these months where He's been talking to me about this stuff, He's been dealing with me and heart attitudes that you don't even realize need to be dealt with, to be honest. You learn to sort of overcome the negative with the positive, and then God says, but I don't want the negative there. If the negative isn't there, then you don't have to overcome it with the positive. I want to take the negative out. And it's one thing, you know, to be confessing the positive over the negative, but it's another thing to have the negative removed. And God is saying, what I want is every negative attitude of heart removed, so there's no judgment, There's no condemnation. There's no jealousy. There's no bitterness. There's no unforgiveness. But there is love and mercy and compassion and long-suffering and patience towards everyone. It's called the will of God for every branch of every tree, for every one of his children. And of course, it's what he will work in us by his Holy Spirit. But we have to make the decision, you see. You have to make the decision for your life, for your heart, that every negative will be purified out of your heart by the Holy Spirit. Peter, in his first letter, says this: "You have been chosen deliberately by God the Father for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It is he who enables your obedience to Jesus Christ as those set apart for his purposes. And you have also been chosen to know the cleansing power of his blood that covers all sin and failure. May he impart grace and peace to you abundantly." Let me just finish by saying this. We can begin this process tonight. And I believe God is ready to do a work in us tonight. Anybody say amen to that? But I found from my experience that there comes a point where you suddenly realize the seriousness of your sin, of stuff you've lived with, because you haven't actually regarded it as all that sinful, if you're honest. And then you see it for what it really is, and you see how that has hindered you and has hindered your effective witness, perhaps ways that you haven't understood in the past. And that brings you to a point almost of desperation, of saying, "God, this has to be dealt with. This has to get out of my heart and life. It doesn't belong there. This is not the new heart that you gave me when I was born again. This needs that purifying, sanctifying, cleansing work of your Holy Spirit." And beloved, that's why we're here tonight, to let God do that. But he won't do it against your will. He will only do it because it's become your will. His will has become your will. And your will is in line with his will. And that your attitude is, "Lord, I don't want to go another day, not another day with this thing in my life, in my heart, this wrong attitude. I want to look upon the lost as you see them, sheep without a shepherd. I don't want to judge the pedophiles. I don't want to judge the sex traffickers. I want to see them as the pitiful people that they are, just lost and bound by Satan, needing deliverance, needing salvation. I want to look upon your people in the way that you looked upon them. So in your compassion, or with your compassion, I want to reach out and touch those lives with your love, with your healing, with your power. That my heart is just so yielded to you that that's what I do. Not because I ought to, but because I want to. Amen. So I guess the time for talking has come to an end, and you can see by now what God wants to do in every one of us. And he put it to me like this morning, that what he wants to do tonight is to set our feet on the path that we're going to walk with him, on this journey we're going to take with him. It's going to be a journey in his holiness, obviously, on the narrow way. And he says, what you're doing is coming out of the sludge, the swamp, you know, that, and to have your feet set there, that there's been stuff, you know, when you go through a swamp, you get dirty feet. Mm-hmm. And you remember what Jesus did at the Last Supper? He cleansed the feet of the disciples. And he's saying, this is what I want to do tonight. I want to cleanse your feet. I want to cleanse your feet of some of the ways in which you have walked because of these impurities of heart and wrong attitudes and so on. It's not good, is it, to judge others? Eh? In fact, it's pretty appalling, because when we do that, God doesn't forgive us. So it has big ramifications. But what I want, and I'm sure what you want, is to have that same love, that same mercy, that same compassion, that same grace pouring out of your heart as poured out of the heart of Jesus. And you don't want anything in your life that is inconsistent with that, anything that fights against that, any negatives that undermine that love and undermine the faith that goes with that love. So are we ready to respond to the Lord? Amen. Shall we all stand? Now, obviously, you know, this isn't a time that can be, I can sort of just lead you really in a time of repentance, but it's what you're going to do in your heart that matters now as you engage with Jesus. So just close your eyes and start talking to Jesus. First of all, you know, don't look at yourself, because this isn't an exercise of self-analysis. Because the Holy Spirit will show you what God wants to show you about your heart, about anything that needs to be dealt with in your heart. But focus on him first and thank him for the heart that he has towards you. You can do that aloud. You don't have to do that silently. Thank him for that immense love that took him to the cross for you. Do you realize that if you were the only sinner in the world, he would still have come and given his life on the cross for you? So personal is that love for each one of us. So thank him for that immense love. Thank him for the consistency of that love. That love never changes with circumstances, never changes because of your feelings, never changes because of where you are. That love is always there. It's been proved, it's been demonstrated on the cross. Thank him that in that love, he not only died for you, but he took you to the cross to put you to death in order that you might have a new life, in order that you might be born again, in order that your life may now be hidden with Christ in God. Thank him for that. Praise him for that immense love. Thank him for that wonderful, wonderful mercy that he's had towards you. That in his mercy he forgave you all your sin. That every time that you have confessed your sins, he has been faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank him that that mercy is new every morning. Every day that mercy is available to you. Thank him that he still doesn't judge you, he still doesn't condemn you, but he is always, always extending his mercy to you every time you turn to him, every time you ask for his forgiveness. All he asks is that you be merciful to others, that you might then be able to live in his mercy, that he will forgive your sins as you forgive the sins of those who sin against you. Hallelujah. Thank him for that immense mercy. Thank him for that compassion, for that care, for that concern that he has for you, that he watches over you, that he's protected you, that he's kept you. Hallelujah. No matter how the enemy has attacked, no matter how the enemy has tried to draw you away from him, he has enabled you by his compassion to remain true and faithful to him so that you stand before him today, ready for him to do the most important and significant thing in your life during these coming days and weeks. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. That amazing compassion. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Such amazing grace. Thank you for that amazing grace that saved a wretch like you, that saved a wretch like me. Once we were lost, but now we're found. Once we were blind, but now we can see. Oh, just thank the Lord for that amazing grace. Hallelujah. Oh, that you're a child of his grace, a child of God because of his grace, that you're a member of the body of Christ, that your life is now hidden with Christ in God because of that amazing grace. Oh, thank him, thank him, thank him. Praise you, Lord. Thank him for the number of times that he's restored you. You know you failed in some way, and you feel so often that you failed him and you failed to be the person he wanted you to be or to do what he wanted you to do, and you felt such a failure, and yet God hasn't washed his hands of you. He's redeemed you. He loves you. He continues to hold you in his mercy, in his grace, in this wonderful compassion, in this amazing love. Hallelujah. Oh, just praise him for that. You know, when you consider that, how dare we ever judge anyone else, or how dare we ever feel critical or negative towards anyone else? Oh, Lord, we just thank you for that amazing love, for that amazing grace, that amazing mercy, that amazing compassion that you have for every single one of us as your children. We praise you, Lord, for that rich salvation that you have granted to us to make us the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God, that you have lavished such grace upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, as John says in his epistle. Hallelujah. You have lavished your grace upon us. Praise your holy name. You've lavished your mercy upon us. You've lavished your love upon us. You've lavished your compassion upon us. You've lavished your patience upon us. You've lavished your long suffering upon us, Lord, with us. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, mighty God. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a God. What amazing love. Praise your holy name. Lord, I just thank you so much. Thank you so, 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 so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I deserve none of this, and yet you've done it all for me. You've given it all for me. I deserve nothing, Lord, absolutely nothing. Nothing in me could ever deserve such love, such grace, such mercy, such compassion, such patience. But I praise you, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you that your love is always the same, always consistent, always true, always full. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now, can you respond to the Lord's love and say, Lord, I want the attitudes of your heart in my heart. I want all those positives in my heart and therefore to be expressed in my attitudes, in my words, in my actions, in my relationships. Lord, I want that love. Fill my heart with that love, Lord. I want you to deal with every unloving attitude in my heart. Every selfish attitude. Every desire to please self rather than to please you and to live for others. Lord, I want a heart of love, a heart of love, Lord. To love you with all my heart, not just part of my heart. Keeping part of my heart from you. Keeping aspects of my life from you. No, Lord, I open up any secret part, any hidden part, any part of my heart that I have kept for myself, I open up to you tonight, Lord. I surrender it to you, Lord. I ask you to cleanse my heart that by that purifying work of your Holy Spirit. Deal with any unloving attitude, Lord. Lord, you tell me to be merciful as my Father in heaven is merciful. So, Lord, I want a heart of mercy. I know if I have a heart of mercy, I won't judge. I won't judge anyone. I won't condemn anyone. I won't criticize anyone. I won't have a negative attitude towards anyone. So, Lord, just show me where there's any lack of mercy in my heart, because I want it dealt with, Lord. I want it done with. I want it out of my heart. And I want a heart of mercy. I want a heart after your heart, Lord, a merciful heart. That even when I look upon those that are bound and steeped in sin, I won't be judging them, but I'll have that heart of compassion for them. Seeing how they're bound by darkness and by the works of the enemy. And, oh, Lord, just praying and wanting to see them delivered and set free. I know I can't pray for them if I judge them. Oh, Jesus, just take out any sense of lack of mercy, lack of compassion, any sense of judging or condemning or having a negative attitude towards anyone. Show me, Lord, show me attitudes of my heart that don't please you, that perhaps I haven't really faced. I felt justified even in having those attitudes. And now, Lord, you show me tonight they're wrong. Those attitudes are wrong. I've got no justification to have them at all, whatsoever. That you haven't called me to judge sinners, but to love them, to pray for them, to see them set free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can you let God deal with those self-pleasing things? I just feel it's so important for us as a church tonight that, you know, if anybody in the church has been disgruntled or dissatisfied with the leadership or with the way things happen, get that negativity out of your heart tonight. You've got no right to think like that. You've just got absolutely no right. This church, no church exists to make you happy. But together we're involved in the purposes of God. Come on, let's get the priorities right. Let me tell you, the leadership of this church does a darn sight better job than you would do. So stop being negative and critical and praise God for them. Thank God for Pastor Clive and the others in leadership, and honor them and support them and love them. And then the whole body can move together in unity. Hallelujah. Let's get any negative thing out of our hearts. Oh, how those things must be horrible in the sight of God. They must be terrible to Him. And He's given us so much, blessed us in so many ways. And then still we're not satisfied. Oh, dear Lord, forgive us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. And just thank the Lord that you're here, you're part of this body to please Him. And actually, He will please you as you please Him. You will find your fulfillment in pleasing Him. So come on, thank Him now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've chosen me to be part of this body at this time. Even those of you who are here for this term as students, you know, God has chosen you to be here at this time because of the great work He's going to do in your heart and in your life. This is the only place on planet Earth to be for you, because it's God's purpose for you to be here at this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Now, can you pray and say, Lord, during these coming days and weeks, as we pray and fast and wait upon you, go on dealing with me. Go on showing me anything, Lord, that is not pleasing to you. You know, the Lord is so merciful, He doesn't show us everything at once, does He? And it would probably be too devastating. So, you know, He's likely to show you, hey, just put His finger on. Not just when you're praying, but, you know, during the course of tomorrow. He may just put His finger on your heart and say, hey, do you see that negative attitude? Do you see that wrong desire, that wrong way of thinking? I want that out. I want it out. I don't want that to persist. Hallelujah. This is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for it. Say, Lord, continue that work in me. That You will transform me into Your likeness with ever-increasing glory through that sanctifying power of Your Holy Spirit. And I give You the glory, Lord. I give You the honor and the praise. Thank You that this isn't a work of self-improvement. This is the work of Your Spirit in me. And I give You all the glory. I give You all the honor. I give You all the praise. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. Pora tapara parasit. Come on, let's praise Him. Pora labazatapara leto bakalasita di santo. Oh, razatapara leto bakalasita di santo. Oh, ratapara leto bakalasita di santo. Poparazatapara leto bakalasita di santo. Ora la basata pari a letto bacalazita di sanduma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, la tapare enenuma. Just continue in prayer. Let me just share something that God showed me about all this. That, you know, some of you have been wondering why God hasn't done more in your life. Some of you even wonder why you haven't received a healing or a kind of a release of the Spirit that you've been wanting in your life. Some of you have been looking for God to deal with particular situations and wonder why you haven't seen the freedom and the movement and the answer to your prayer. And God is just saying, I've been waiting because I've wanted to deal with these issues in your life, because I'm concerned not just with that sickness, just not with that situation, I'm concerned about you. And my heart is for your welfare in every conceivable way. And I just believe that God is saying that it isn't that you can earn your healing or the answer to your prayer or anything like that, but this is part of God's answer. This is the healing, what He wants to bring into your life spiritually. And I believe it's going to give birth to a lot of physical healing as well in the coming days and weeks. That, you know, we're going to be such a healthy people. Hallelujah. And, you know, that health begins here. Can we praise Him and thank Him? But, oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Let's have the band up. We're going to praise God. I want you to really praise Him for that work He's begun. Let's be clear about this. He's just begun this work in us tonight, right? And, you know, our focus won't be on this all the time. God is going to lead us along this journey. But even while we walk with Him on this way, He's still going to be dealing with stuff like this. Purifying, cleansing. We need that your new song about, you know, when I survey. That one. That's the one you were thinking of, isn't it? Yeah, of course it is. Praise God. We're of one heart and mind. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really praise Him. That this isn't just words we're singing. This is expressing what God is working in us.